being the strong friend is a very lonely experience. Am I closed in certain friendships because that's just a characteristic of mine? Or am I closed in certain friendships because I don't have the space and I don't feel safe to be open? Where is Iyanla? I need to talk that one out. My strength cannot just be accepted when it's in favor of you. The value that you see in my strength and me being a strong friend cannot only be valuable when it is in relationship to you and what you're going through. I think that that is the truest desire of all of our hearts, is to be seen and to be understood. There is nothing like feeling like you can show up in spaces and truly be yourself. I also don't really subscribe to the whole fake friend versus real friend thing. To me, by definition, to be a friend is to be real. So you're either my friend or you're not my friend. There is no such thing as a fake friend. To me, that's an oxymoron, because how can you be a friend if you're fake? Now, we have to continuously get to know each other as we get to know ourselves within friendships. So I'm becoming a new person. And if you want to be my friend, you have to continuously get to know that person. You cannot hold me to the person that I was when you met me, the person that I was 5 years ago, the person that I was last month. And so I think a lot of times when there's fallout within friendships, it's because the expectation of who the person is, it belongs to a season that that person is no longer in. This one is for the millennial who has been labeled as the strong friend. Let's go beneath the seams. Life can be so complex. The human experience is far more expansive than what we can see, and we spend so much time just trying to figure it out. We put on makeup, nice clothing, and we go out into the world trying to hold it all together, when beneath those seams, we are being ripped apart. Some of the ripping is self-inflicted, some of it is because of the pressure of society, but all of it is limiting. Limiting in our quest to just simply be who we truly are. We're more complex than we give ourselves credit for. We fill our brains with popular sayings like, oh, it ain't that serious, loosen up, or just live a little. But life in itself is a deep, non-surface level experience, and sometimes it can be pretty serious. So often we force ourselves to only exist at the surface, never allowing ourselves to be fully exposed. We let the layers pile up until the pressure becomes too much to bear, and then we rip. Sometimes into shreds, and a lot of the times in silence. Beneath means to go below the surface, and seams are what are supposed to keep us joined together. Because we are taught, no matter what, you just have to keep yourself together. We create this image, never letting people in, never going beneath the seams. I don't know if we ever get the answers we expect from life, but I'm starting to find peace in the process of just figuring it out. Instead of forcing the complexities of this human experience to be hidden, let's peel back the layers and go beneath them. Beneath the Seams, a love letter to millennials who are just trying to figure it out. Beneath the Seams, the podcast, now available on all platforms. Welcome back to another episode of Beneath the Seams, where we peel back the layers, we expose all of the things we be hiding, we have the tough conversations, and we talk about things that really ultimately help us live as our true selves. Ting! I feel like we should have cued like a halo in angel music. So in this episode, listen, I'm so glad y'all here. I am happy to be here in this space. Y'all know this is the safe seat, but this is also the seen seat. So you're going to be exposed in a good way. You're going to be vulnerable. And that's because I'm going to lead with that layer of vulnerability. And so today we got to talk about these here friendships. Adulting as a millennial is one thing. Being friends as we try to adult is a whole nother experience. There has been a lot of discourse online, particularly on TikTok, about how people are saying, I don't have any friends. It's so hard to make friends in your 30s. How are you guys making friends as an adult? And I'm not gonna hold you. I was side-eyeing because I've always had friends, and I've always had a lot of friends. I am a fan of Drake, more so old school Drake, like 2009, 2010, my college Drake era. I don't know what he be doing now. But anyway, I am a fan of Drake. And that No New Friends bar, that song, that was the first time I ever was like, mm-mm, this ain't it. I disagreed with that. I am a girl's girl. I have always had a lot of different friends, and I've always been a part of several friend groups. Like, I wasn't just tied to this group of people where it was maybe three or four girls. Like, I've been one in several groups where it was like three, four, five of us. So that experience is not one that I have. And so when I meet women and they say they don't have no friends, I'm not going to hold you. Can we talk? Can we talk? Y'all not going to judge me. We could talk. Okay. When I meet women and they say they don't have no friends, I be judging. Because why? Why don't you have any friends? What's going on? And I think that experience, because that experience for me has been one that was always relatively easy, it came naturally. It's just hard for me to understand that perspective. And so one of the things that I have noticed is that people are having a hard time with these adult friendships. Now you got me. I can't agree or relate to not having friends, but I will say that these adult friendships are very challenging. And I want to speak from the perspective of the strong friend. Give me a strong arm emoji. Give me a strong arm emoji in the comments if you have been labeled as the strong friend. And I call it a label because nobody puts this title on themselves. Like, people start calling you things and referring to you as things. And one day you realize, I never said that. I never volunteered. I never raised my hand and said, hey, y'all, I'm Kayla and I'm the strong friend. But throughout the course of my friendships and in many friend groups, it has been the role that I have played. And so I started to think about, well, if I'm the strong friend, then where do I get my strength? Who do I lean on? Who do I call on? Who can I talk to? And so that's the place I want to speak from today. These are my confessions. Oh, I hit my note. That is the place that I want to speak from today. These are my confessions of a strong friend. I understand that I show up in a way that I have a very dominant presence. I have a very rational way of thinking. And so I understand, like, those types of leadership qualities kind of go along with being the strong friend. But heavy is the head that wears the crown. And when I think about the role that I play or the position that I have as the strong friend in my friend groups, it makes me wonder, how do other people view themselves? It's like, well, if I'm the strong friend, what are you? Are you the weak friend? Like, that's the thing. I feel like we are all strong in different areas. And I wish that there was more emphasis put on that. Particularly because when you are the strong friend, you kind of fall short. People are always leaning on you to be the strength. And so where do you go in your time of weakness? Now I want to preface this by saying too, I have really good friends. I have been blessed. My mama used to say all the time, Kayla, you don't have no friends. Like, that's how she raised me. And I think that was just that good old, you know, 90s upbringing where you wanted your children to be, you know, aware of what could be possible within certain friendships. So she would always be like, you don't have no friends. And when I got old enough to really understand, I challenged that. And I was like, mama, I do have friends. Like, there are some girls who I have friends who I've known since I was 13 years old. One of my really good friends, we still talk very regularly. I have known him since I was 13 years old. We met in middle school. Another one of my really good friends, same. I met her in middle school. And so I just have never subscribed to that you don't have no friends mentality. I believe that God gives every living species what it needs to survive out in the world. And so there's a reason why certain fish have fins. There's a reason why certain animals have beaks or things that they can protect themselves with. I think for us, God gives us each other. That's what we need to survive out in the world. So I don't subscribe to the negativity. Have I been done wrong? Sure. Have I had friendship fallouts? Absolutely. But overall, I don't subscribe to this loner mentality that I feel like a lot of us have taken when it comes to friendships. We easily dispose of each other. And I think one of the things that the 30s is teaching me is that just like everything else in your life, them friendships are going to require work. For whatever reason, we are willing to work in our romantic relationships. We're, of course, willing to work at our jobs or our careers. But when it comes to platonic friendship, we expect it to just be easy and more natural. And that doesn't make sense because we are all humans. We're all emotional. We're all having the same experiences in terms of we are all going through something in life. So why is the expectation for this to be easy? I see a lot of discourse online about, you know, well, if I got to go to therapy with my friend, then it's not worth it or that's too deep. But I actually find it admirable that you think this relationship is worth enough to actually want to go talk to somebody to try to figure it out. I think we have this misconception that people are replaceable and we are not. Good people are definitely not replaceable. And so I think overall we need to do some more introspection on why we are so quick to just toss people away when what's happening in the friendship is no longer serving us in that season. And I think seasons are important because, and we're going to get to, I do believe sometimes it's everything must come to an end. So I do believe that some friendships gotta go, but I want to highlight the good first because friendship is important. And so, yeah, I don't like how in certain seasons we try to dismiss our friendships or, you know, are so quick to want to be done with them because they aren't serving us in those seasons. And I think we have to be mindful of I'm going through something. She's going through something. We're all going through something. And so maybe in this season, here is how I need you to be a better friend. Here's how I can be a better friend. And I will say, as the strong friend, I often felt like people didn't know how to support me. I felt like my friends didn't know how to be there for me because they viewed me as the safe space. They viewed me as the one who had it all together, as the rational one. And so people don't check in on you when they feel like you don't need to be checked in on. People don't check in on you when you're always the one doing the checking in on. And if I'm being honest, it messes with me in my alone time. Sometimes my phone don't ring for a couple of days. And it's like, well, dang, you know, I'm always the friend, every group chat that I'm in. Well, I'm not going to say every single one, but 8 out of the 10 group chats I'm in, it's because I formed it. I put it together. I'm always the one initiating the FaceTime call or, you know, sending the group text and getting people together in person. I'm very intentional about making sure we stay tight and making sure we stay in community. And sometimes I sit with that and I'm like, God, is this just a part of my role? Like we all have assignments. And as God connects us, we all have things that each other needs. Like God connects us with certain friends because that friend has something that I need and I have something that friend needs. And so sometimes when I'm feeling a little down about not being checked on as much as I need to be, I do go to God and I'm like, well, is this just a part of, you know, the experience of me being the strong friend? Is this a part of the servitude that I'm supposed to have within this relationship? I still ain't figured that part out yet. I'll report back, but just wanted to be honest in saying that that's how I feel sometimes. Being the strong friend is a very lonely experience. You always have the capacity. You show up for people. It doesn't matter what's going on, but people don't think the same way in regards to you. There is this perception that you have it all figured out and that you have it all together because you hold capacity and you hold space for them. So again, it's like, well, dang, if I'm the strong friend, what are you to me? And then who's going to be able to pick me up when I am literally falling apart? And so I like to always make sure that these conversations are happening from a place of accountability. And so I know as the strong friend, tell me if y'all can relate. I will admit that I can be closed off. And I don't know if it's just a natural part of who I am or if it is a result, a trauma response of how people experience me in friendships. Like, I don't know if I'm closed because that's just who I am or if I'm closed because I feel like I can't be open. Ooh, I got to sit with that with myself. That was, wow. That, now that right there, baby, where is Iyanla? I need to talk that one out. That literally just came up as I'm talking this out with y'all. Am I closed in certain friendships because that's just a characteristic of mine? Or am I closed in certain friendships because I don't have the space and I don't feel safe to be open? We're going to ponder on that. I also feel like as the strong friend, my moments of weakness and vulnerability aren't accepted and embraced as easily as they are with other friends. I think that there's this expectation based on how my friends see me that I'm just always okay. And half the time, I'm falling apart physically, mentally, spiritually. And so I feel like when I am crying, or if I'm just saying, frankly, hey, girl, I'm going through a lot today, sometimes it's brushed off as, oh, okay, girl, well, feel better. And I don't think that this is intentional because that's just not how I choose to. That's not my worldview. I do not think people intentionally show up with the nonchalant approach. I just think people don't have the wherewithal, the capacity. And if you're dealing with me, sometimes the level of emotional intelligence that is required to really be a good friend. I think people struggle with having the level of emotional intelligence required to be in an intimate relationship with someone, because we always confuse intimacy with a romantic partner. But when it comes to friends and girlfriend relationships, it is a very intimate experience. A lot of times those people know more about you than your romantic partner ever will, than your mama ever will. Those are the people who really see the depths of your soul. And so there's a certain level of emotional intelligence required to be a good friend when you have that type of intimate friendship with somebody. And for me, I feel like, and I want to choose my words wisely because I don't want to offend no friends because I got good friends, okay? But I feel like there are times where I really need to be checked up on and I really need someone to friend. I really need someone to be the friend that I've been to them to me. And I just don't get that. And I know we cannot expect from other people who we are, but my God, where is the reciprocity? You know, where is just the asking? I have a really good friend. She's really good at saying, what can I do for you in this season? What do you need? I don't know how to handle this. I don't know how to approach this. I'm not used to seeing you like this, but I just want to have the conversation to ask, what do you need? She's actually my line sister, my front, Esme. She's really good at those things. She's not like a confrontational person. She's not really good with having like the super tough conversations, but I will say within our personal friendship, when I'm falling apart, she's really good at saying, I don't know what's going on. I don't even know how to ask what's going on, but let me just sit here and hold space for you so that I can try to figure it out. And I appreciate that. Like, I appreciate when people have the capacity to hold space, even when they don't have the right words, even when they may be going through something themselves, even when they view you as the one who's always there for them. Sometimes I just need you to sit here and just be. You know, sometimes I just need you to listen. Sometimes I just need you to nod as I cry. And I think as the strong friend, those are the things that people don't realize that you need to. They don't accept. I want to focus on that word acceptance, because there have been times in friendships where I have loudly said, hey, y'all, I'm not okay. Like, hey, you know, I don't feel close to you in this season. Hey, there's some distance between us. And people just kind of like blank stare. And I think they are having an out-of-body experience because they're not used to experiencing me like that. And so if you are the person in the friend group who doesn't identify as the strong friend, I want you to be more intentional about open-ended space. Just being able to say, hey, I know you're off. Something's off. I see that you're not your normal self. I don't know what to say. I think saying that I don't know what to say is the perfect start. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do, but I do want to be here for you. So just setting that intention in itself opens the door for us to feel safe. And then if you are the strong friend, I want you to take the accountability, and this is what I'm working on. I want you to take the accountability of being unapologetically vocal about what you need. My strength cannot just be accepted when it, my strength cannot just be accepted when it's in favor of you. So me being the strong friend is acceptable when my strength is helping you. But when I'm now the strong friend and I'm being assertive, or I'm being maybe even aggressive, I'm being a little temperamental, that's when people like to backpedal. And they're like, well, wait a minute. And now they're so offended and they're so all over the place, and they shut down about how to handle you when you're in those seasons. But it's like when my aggressiveness, when my ability to have capacity was working in your favor, it was all good. But now when I use those same strengths to advocate for myself, then it's a problem. And I think that's another thing that we have to do, is stand our ground as the strong friend, no matter what. My value, the value that you see in my strength and me being a strong friend, can not only be valuable when it is in relationship to you and what you're going through. I need you to be able to see me and see my heart and see my strength, even when I'm standing up for myself, or I'm telling you that I'm going through a certain thing, or I'm speaking with a more aggressive tone. I still need you to be able to see me for who I am in my heart and not use those strong attributes that you put on me against me. Currently, I'm in a space in a lot of my friend groups where I am struggling to find my belonging. So much has changed. So with the high school friends, life is just totally different for most of us. None of us live in the same state. There has been conflict and distance within certain relationships within the overall group. And that has caused us to no longer be the friend group that meets up when it's, you know, Mardi Gras or when it's Christmas. I'm from New Orleans. So the high school friend group, you know, we would meet around the holidays, or always Essence, or always 4th of July. And so the dynamics have changed there just because we're growing up, and in some ways we've grown apart. And honestly, the high school friend group, I feel like your high school friends are the ones who know you the least, because they are still stuck at that 15-year-old version of yourself. A few years ago, I had this very honest conversation with my friend, and I said to her, look, you still handle and regard me like I'm a 16-year-old girl. I'm a 20-something-year-old woman. I was 20-something at the time. The dynamic of us being girls as friends is going to be different than us being women. You are not entitled to certain things, certain spaces, certain information, just because of the history of our friendship. And so those relationships are difficult to navigate because you met as children and then you grew up together and you became adults. But becoming an adult is such a transformative emotional experience in itself. Everybody can't ride along for that. And you literally become different people. I am definitely not the 15-year-old girl that I, you know, was in some of those friend groups. I'm not even the 20-something-year-old girl, and I was just in my 20s a few years ago. So as you change, I feel like those friendships become very tough to navigate, because life starts to really show you who you are. You start to meet who you are and become who you are. And that person is just very different than a 15-year-old, 16-year-old girl who doesn't have much sense of what life is even about or what the world is. And then in some of my other friend groups, like my college friend group, my Lion Sisters, I feel certain levels of disconnect. I would say that's probably my closest friend group. I talk to them very regularly. Shout out to the click. I talk to them very regularly. And those are the girls where I'm like, we are riding through life together. We met in college. We're line sisters. So there's a layer of, okay, I met you when I was an adult. And then we stayed tight all the way through the thickness of these 30s and adulthood. I mean, everybody, people done had babies, people done been married, people done been divorced, people done been broke. People are going through like those real life things, and we've been able to ride through life with each other. We always jokingly say, well, I'm not joking, but we jokingly say we're soulmates. Like, yes, we're gonna go and have our romantic partners, because it's all about men over here for me. But like, we're soulmates. Like, we're gonna be here. The boys will come and go until we find the one. You know, other people will come and go, but we have committed that we are soulmates. And I believe that. Like, I think that the clique are my people for sure. But even within that friend group, I struggle sometimes to find my belonging. And I think it's because so much has changed. I don't have any children. The majority of them do. I don't got a man. We're going to pray on it. We're going to pray through it. Okay. But I'm not in a serious relationship. The majority of them are in or have been in the time that we've been friends. And so the circumstances and the dynamic of what we prioritize is just different. And sometimes I feel just very alone and very out of place in certain conversations. I am TT, okay? So I love the kids. I love talking to them, talking about them. But there are moments where I just feel completely disconnected from that experience. I mean, I'm not a mom, so of course I feel disconnected, but I feel disconnected from that friend in certain moments, because we are just not in a space in life where we are prioritizing the same things. And I've said this to that friend group before. Sometimes I feel like by the time everybody finishes talking about what they have going on with the kids, or what they have going on with the husband or the baby or whatever it is, there's no room left for my little single life. Now, I'm not saying that anybody used those words, but that's the feeling that I get. It's like my problems or what I'm going through aren't put under the same microscope or don't have the same magnitude as theirs, because it involves children or it involves a partner or it involves buying a house. And so I'm over here like, well, I just want to talk about I had a bad day. You know, my camera broke, let's say, God forbid, but my camera broke. And I feel like that problem is not, you know, given the same amount of energy, because it's like, oh girl, we got bigger fish to fry. Again, I don't think that it's intentional, but it does happen. And I think subconsciously, it makes me feel, subconsciously and consciously, it makes me feel lonely within the friend group. And so I'm in this space where I'm just trying to find my belonging. I recently moved back to Atlanta. It'll be a year that I've been back here next month, and I got to refine my way. That's why I'm always going to be the girl who's open to new friendships and relationships. But I got to refine my way, because while I have community here, I'm looking for the same kind of energy that I give out. I love the flexibility that I have in my life to be able to just go and do as I please within moment's notice. And so I want to be able to have that energy. I want to be able to vibe with someone who also has the same type of flexibility in their life. I also would love to meet more creator friends. Of all of my friend groups, there are some creatives for sure, but I would love, it's just different. Like when you are a true like creative, like it runs through your blood, the conversations are different. The understanding is different. So I would love to meet more creator friends. And when I talk about understanding, I think that is the truest desire of all of our hearts, is to be seen and to be understood. There is nothing like feeling like you can show up in spaces and truly be yourself, particularly in your friend groups, because these are the people who you should be able to be the most vulnerable with. So seeking understanding seeking to be understood. It's just something that I'm personally focusing on for myself in my friend groups and what I'm requesting and what I'm asking for. And as the strong friend, I feel like you should ask for that too. Like, do you really understand me? Are you able to, even when I'm having a moment that is not reflective of the norm, are you able to still see me and understand me and know my intentions or give me benefit of the doubt, even when we're having a tough conversation or when times are tough? What I need from you is understanding, okay? Words to Candy Burris and Tiny. And what's some other two names? Tamika and Tasha. I don't think she in it no more. but yes, we just need some understanding. I also think simply asking, how can I support you, is a big way of being understood. Me and my friends talk about this all the time. I have a business and a presence that is centered around social media. It is how I get clients. It is how I get opportunities. It is how I pay my bills. So it's a part of my life. And so when we start having this conversation about content, because, you know, we be watching. And if you are a business owner yourself, or if you've just ever done anything publicly, there's a lot of discourse all the time about how people don't support you and your friends will be your last customers and all of those things. You've seen all of the memes. And I always say, I like for my friends to not have the pressure to have to support me online. I want you to be able to consume your content organically. If you like it, double tap it. If it inspires you, share it. If you want to tell me something, leave a comment. I don't subscribe to you should be liking and sharing and posting and double tapping and retweeting just because I'm your friend. That is the expectation that a lot of people have that I just don't agree with. I want you to organically like it and share it if you really liked it, right? And so stop expecting that level of support. Now, when asked, hey, how can I support you? Then you say, you know, hey, go reshare this or like this, or I would love your feedback on this. But the expectation that I'm just going to, first of all, see, and secondly, support all of your online endeavors, I just think it's a little unrealistic and unfair. I do think, though, if you have a creative friend, be more intentional about saying, hey girl, how can I support you? I see you really grinding it out, pumping it out, really taking your business seriously. How can I help you? I think that that will lift a huge weight by just asking, how can I support you? One of the things my friends tell me all the time is that they have to find out stuff on the internet. And I jokingly say, okay, you right. I just don't be talking about stuff like that. Like, I just do it. Like, I be telling my friends all the time, if I call you and I flash a ring and we off somebody's remote island, just know that I done found the one and we done got married and I'm finna post a picture. And I just want y'all to know before it hit the internet, I am the girl who will pop up married on the internet. And so it's kind of the same. And I think in a way, I'm a private person, so there's that. But in a way, I think there's this layer of not being made a big deal over that I have a trauma response to. And so I don't share a lot of like the wins or the things that I'm experiencing because in the past, people haven't really cared. It's not like a big deal is made over. I've been a part of so many birthday dinners, so many vacations, so many weddings, bridal showers, but when you launch a business, people are like, oh, that's nice. You know, when you hit a milestone with your content, people are like, oh, that's great. When you get this brand partnership, people are like, oh, okay. But there aren't any celebrations planned. Nobody's like, oh, let's go to dinner because you launched a business. Oh, let's, you know, plan a vacation because your podcast hit 10,000 downloads, right? And so I think because those types of things aren't looked at as celebratory, I subconsciously shrink a little bit. Ooh, child. I'm cringing because this is vulnerable for me to be saying out loud. But I think I shrink a little bit because the celebration has never been at the height of other people's accomplishments when it comes to me. And so I want to do a better job at that. I want to again, in this episode of Confessions of a Strong Friend, it's me confessing things in terms of how I feel and then also confessing ways that I can be better. So confessing how we feel within the friendships, but then also being able to pinpoint things that we can do differently to just have better friendships and better relationships overall. Another big thing that I see is people talking about fake friends versus real friends. Just because we're no longer friends does not mean you were a fake friend. I do not like that language. I think that relationships have a season sometimes, just like anything else. And I'm grateful for, I'm happy for what we were able to add to each other during that time. That time is now over and we move on. That does not mean you were a terrible person, a fake friend, or a horrible person. In that time, you were a good friend to me. Whatever happened, happened, and now it's done. I don't think that it should be labeled as, oh, that was a fake friend. I also don't really subscribe to the whole fake friend versus real friend thing. To me, by definition, to be a friend is to be real. So you're either my friend or you're not my friend. There's no such thing as a fake friend. To me, that's an oxymoron, because how can you be a friend if you're fake? Now, do people have, you know, ill intentions, and maybe they kind of mislead with those intentions because they want something else out of you? Sure, there's always an exception to the rule. But overall, I don't subscribe to fake friends versus real friends. I have friends. And if I'm calling you a friend, that means that you are real, period. I really think we just need to do a better job at holding on to something, holding on to a friend when we know it's good, and then praying for discernment to let it go if it's no longer serving us. If you feel like it is causing you to not to be able to be yourself, I just had to recently decide I was done with a friendship because of that. I felt like I had to shrink. I felt like every time we were around each other, the person had to be bigger than me, and went out of their way to do it. And so when you find yourself in those types of circumstances, I think you need to have enough discernment to know when you have to let it go. But I also think there's a fine line, because there are sometimes people who are worth working it out. And because we think people are replaceable, or because we have accepted this loner life, we think, oh, let me just dispose of them. Oh, let me cut them off. It ain't nothing to cut that bit off. Y'all better stop. Some people don't deserve to be cut off. I think the intentionality of wanting to be in the friendship, the intentionality of seeing about your friend, not just wanting to be in the friendship because that person is a good friend to you, but doing the work to make sure that you can consistently be a good friend to them, and even asking how can you be a better friend. I think those are the things that are so important to keep us in good, healthy friendships with each other. Okay, so let me tell y'all how divined and aligned this conversation was. In the last episode, I asked for you guys to just leave a comment, because I want to start building community around the podcast. I want to be able to have episode topics inspired by you all, answer some of your questions live on the podcast, and just really make this an interactive experience, because that was the goal when I set out to launch it. Is I wanted to have these conversations that I feel like people don't be wanting to have, because I think they truly make us better, for real. And so last week I said, let me know in the comments what you want me to call the kind of question and answer portion of the show. And I wanted y'all to give me some ideas. And so, oh, I know I'm finna butcher your name. So it's Queen. Oh, wait, I don't even know if that's Queen. I'm gonna spell it. So it's QVEENCALYHA 2818. Queen Kalia? I don't know. I feel like I just butchered that. But she left a really good comment. And so I was asking you guys for names for the segment where I read a comment or answer a question from the comment section. So she said a cute name, Kayla's Question Corner. Okay. The Question Closet. Okay. Question and Fellowship with Kayla. And then I like how she spelled everything with a K, because I do that in real life. Like when I welcome people to my home, I'm like, welcome to Casa de Kayla. And I spell Casa with a K. So I like that. I'm still, she got my wheels turning though. I was like, maybe Kayla's question corner and corner with a K. I don't know. I'm not sold yet, but she definitely gave me some ideas to get my wheels turning. So I want to ask you guys again, keep on giving me suggestions in the comments. And then my friends, Bianca, who's also one of the executive producers of the show. So just so y'all know, the executive producers, when I'm talking about the lighting and the set and all of this stuff, when I'm talking about the producers, I be talking about me. I'm a one-man band, okay? I do all of this stuff myself. And as you guys know, I have a TV production background. So when I'm saying we, I'm talking about me. But I do have real-life executive producers. And it's so fitting to acknowledge them in this episode because they are my friends who would not let Beneath the Seams die. They would ask me about it all the time. They loved it when I started doing it. They were very much in support of it and have been advocates for it coming back. And I really appreciate them because they support it. They wouldn't let me, like, I took off from doing this type of content for what, 3 or 4 years? They would not let me stop thinking about it. Like, they wouldn't let it leave my heart. And so I call them my executive producers. So I have 3 friends who are my executive producers. And then we have the ultimate EP, which is my mama. That's because she had me. So of course she's the executive producer. But those friends are, let's name names, because in the spirit of having good friends and talking about friendships during this episode, Isaiah, Dr. Isaiah, is one of my EPs, my friend Michelle also, and then my friend and line sister Bianca. Those are my 3 executive producers of the show, and that's because they didn't let me stop doing it. So Bianca also gave a name. She said, let's see what Bianca said. Bianca said, oh girl, where is it? I just had it pulled up. Oh, here we go. Bianca said Beneath the Comments, and I was like, okay. So that's what we have in the running now. Beneath the Comments, Kayla's Comment Corner. I don't know. I still feel like I haven't heard the one. Like, as a creative, you know when you hear the one. But let me know in the comments what y'all think the segment title should be for this portion of the show. Okay, so let me read the comment, y'all. I'm just yapping on about. So going back to Queen Kaya's, I know I'm messing it up, but going back to her comment, she also left a question. And I think the alignment is so perfect because I was already working on this episode, which was about friendship. And so she said, Gen Z girly, shout out to this Gen Z girlies checking in. I get a lot of comments from you all. I'm saying a lot. It's been like 3, but girl, that's a lot to me. Okay. I'm grateful for y'all, the Gen Z girlies. She said, how have your friendships changed over the years? And when did you know it was time to let them go? And I think I touched on it a lot in the conversation that we've been having, but just to kind of summarize it, my friendships changed drastically over the years because in each season and each phase, I became somebody different and so did they. And we didn't always do the work to see if who we had become are still aligned with each other. And so in those cases, those friendships ended. Some of my best friendships, though, have changed for the positive because we stayed close and we stayed committed and we decided that we wanted to be each other's people no matter what life threw at us. And so those are the relationships where the intentionality, taking the time to get to know each other as we became different people, really came into play. And I think that's a good takeaway, too. We have to continuously get to know each other as we get to know ourselves within friendships. So I'm becoming a new person. And if you want to be my friend, you have to continuously get to know that person. You cannot hold me to the person that I was when you met me, the person that I was 5 years ago, the person that I was last month. And so I think a lot of times when there's fallout within friendships, it's because the expectation of who the person is, it belongs to a season that that person is no longer in. And so having the intentionality of, okay, I'm changing and I know that people have to get to know me. So let me be intentional about getting to know my friend as she changes and in these new seasons of her life. I think that's really important. And I think that's what has been done for the relationships that I have been able to maintain and the ones that are very close and near and dear to me. And then she said, going back to the comment, When did you know it was time to let them go? That's a tough one because it's literally one of those things you don't know until you know. Like for me, it gets really loud because I'm going to speak about the one that I recently just decided to let go. For me, I really do genuinely view things from an optimistic perspective. And I always like to think, girl, nobody's out to get you. Like people mean well. I try not to think about the worst in people. And so it's hard for me sometimes to let go when things start to no longer serve me or start to get just ugly and nasty, because unless you crossed me, okay? Now you cross me in a major way, then it's easy. Bye. Like, don't cross me, because one thing I'm going to always do is be respectful to you, and I'm going to be loving towards you in all ways that I can. I fall short, but I'm never going to try to intentionally disrespect you or cross you. So if you cross me, immediate grounds for dismissal. Off with her head immediately, okay? But outside of that, when there's like a buildup, those are hard because I will sometimes ignore the little things because I'm just like, no, but that's my friend. But she wouldn't do that. But she wouldn't mean that. And every single time I proved myself to be right about that discernment that I had along the way that I chose to ignore. So I would say, to kind of put a bow on that box and answering that question, how do you know when it's time to let go? Once you have gathered enough data to support that gut feeling that you have, once you start to no longer feel like this person sees you, and we call this podcast Beneath the Seams, right? When you feel like that's no longer one of your people who sees you underneath those seams, who sees you raw and vulnerable, when you feel like they are no longer advocating for you and have your best interests at heart, it's time to let it go. When everything becomes a problem, when y'all can't seem to escape conflict, when you have grown to a place mentally or spiritually and you feel like you guys are no longer equally yoked, that's for me a clear indicator when it's time to let it go. And these things are hard. Like, I don't believe in just tossing people away. It is not easy all the time, but I've never regretted it to this point. And sometimes I feel like it's necessary. Again, there is a season for everything, and all seasons come to an end. Sometimes the end is we no longer talk, but either way, it's going to end one day. Even if we go all the way to death do us part, that's it. The end, when we die. So that's just how I look at it. So I hope that was helpful. And thank you so much for your comment as well as your suggestions for the segments. Okay. There was one more comment that I wanted to read because it was just a really, really good one. Let's see. So this is Indie Soul 3088. She says, it never ceases to amaze me that I can be in a whole era and going through different struggles and blockages. And then there are other people who are experiencing such a similar thing. And then they get on and talk about it and pop up on my feed. The algorithm of life and karmic flow is divine, man. Thanks for your content, beautiful. So, so relatable. I loved this comment so much. And I responded to her and I said, this comment right here is making me shout. I say this all the time. God influences everything, including the algorithm. God influences everything, including the algorithm. I pray over my content. I pray and I ask God, hey, help me say the right words. Help me be vulnerable and not hold back. But ultimately, help this land on the laptops and the cell phones and in the ears of the people who need to hear this message, because I truly believe that this platform for me is an act of obedience. I think that my perspective is a part of my gift, and me being able to use my voice is a part of my gift. And so this is not something I'm just doing for kicks and giggles. Like, I don't take that lightly, especially because I took a break and I had to find my way back to this space. I'm really trying to be obedient in this season of using my gifts. And so when people say stuff like this, it's so affirming. And I'm just so happy to be finding and connecting with you all and finding my people. It feels really great. So I'm glad that you found it relatable. And what I love, this is a scholar, okay? Y'all know I love a smart, well-read sis. And I love when people have a way with words. She said, the algorithm of life Ooh, let me read it again because I don't want to mess it up. The algorithm of life and karmic flow is divine. I said, ooh, come on, Maya Angelou. Like, who said that? Okay. I just love when people put words together so beautifully. So I really enjoyed reading your comment, girl. Thank you so much for leaving it. So we covered a lot today, and I feel a part two in my spirit at some point, because although we talked about a lot, friendships are an ongoing topic, and I definitely feel like there's always more to talk about. So let me know in the comments if y'all want a part two and what y'all want me to kind of nail down on specifically or expound upon more. I definitely enjoyed the key pieces that we discussed. I hope that you guys, if you're watching this and you are the strong friend, again, drop them strong arm emojis in the comments. I hope that you are inspired and equipped now to kind of stand in that role and stand in that position. But I also hope that you are encouraged to speak up for what it is that you need as the strong friend. No matter what you have going on in your friendships, no matter where you are in those relationships, be easy on yourself, be nice to yourself. And above all else, I hope my prayer for you is that you find peace in the process of just figuring it out. All right, that'll do it for this episode of Beneath the Seams. I will see you guys later.